Welcome to the Gramazin Testimony Report, hosted by Charles Wagner, the executive director of Gramazin.
Do you know what the word Gramazin means? It is a reshuffling of the letters in the phrase Amazing Grace. It is our mission at Gramazin to encourage and equip believers in Jesus Christ to share their testimonies and to encourage Bible-believing churches to publish them. Visit Gramazin.com and join us today. Today on the Gramazin Testimony Report, we are pleased to have with us Jesselyn McCutcheon. Jesselyn is coming to us from rural North Carolina. She is a coach for women who live with bipolar disorder. She is a speaker, a singer, an advocate, and a writer. She likes to empower women who live with bipolar disorder to manage their symptoms and disorders more effectively through resources, lived experience, and incorporating God's word in order to live a more fulfilling life. And Jesselyn, I like in particular your quote, "Sometimes God will put a Goliath in your life for you to find the David within you."
Absolutely. It's so true.
Well, welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So Jesselyn, tell us a little bit about your family.
We live in a small rural town of King, North Carolina. It has about 7,000 people in it. I've been here for the past 20 years. My husband and I have been married almost 15 years, and we have three girls. The oldest is 17, senior year in high school. The middle one is 14, ninth grade, and our youngest is sixth grade, and she is 11.
And I'm sure having three daughters is not a challenge in the slightest bit, huh?
Not at all. You know, we don't have any type of drama at all. You know, we are completely drama free. So, you know.
That's excellent. Well, Jesselyn, you do what we've talked previously before this interview, and I know you have a testimony that can really be a blessing to many people. Can you share with us how you came to faith in Jesus Christ, and then how he has blessed you since you came to faith in Christ?
Absolutely. Well, I'm one of those people who have been in church my whole life. I was saved at a very young age, at 6 years old, and I was raised in a Christian home. We lived and breathed church, the Sunday evenings, the Wednesdays. I grew up singing in the church. Honestly, my childhood and my teenage years were great. It was when I went off to college, things kind of started to take a turn for me when I was all by myself.
Away from your family, away from the influence.
Yeah, I've always believed in God. But where my faith really started to test me was when I started running into with what I now live with. And I live with bipolar disorder. My symptoms started for me right after college. Was when I was 23 years old. And from that period, 23 to 26, it was awful. It was awful for me. It was awful for my family. It was nothing but in and out of hospitalizations, you know, on different types of medications. And it got to the point where medications weren't working and I had to do a series of ECT shock therapy treatments. It was just horrific. It was like we were living in the lake of fire for those 3 years straight. Yeah. Until that diagnosis came. During that time, my faith was tested. My family's faith was tested. There were even periods during that time we stopped going to church, period, because I was not getting any better at all over those years. And we were questioning, like, when are we ever going to see any type of change, any type of light, any type of different direction, any improvement with her in her health and her mental health?
This is kind of your parents talking. I am hearing that. Like,
yeah, it was my parents. And, you know, it was during that time, I kind of was not even with it anyway. I didn't know what I was. This was all new to me. And this was all new to everybody. You know, we were trying to navigate the best way we could, how we were going to live with this. And especially after the diagnosis of bipolar one came. And, you know, I was thankful once that diagnosis came, because after that, I did start treatment to treat me accordingly to that diagnosis, you know? Right. So I was thankful for after that, but leading up to that point, it was horrific. It was horrific for me and my family. And you've probably heard anybody living with a mental illness, a very serious mental illness, any type of mental health. It's a journey. It's a process. And, you know, bipolar disorder, schizophrenia, it's an ongoing journey. It's not a linear process. We're always going to have these highs. We're always going to have these lows, speaking of bipolar disorder specifically. We just try to figure out the best way, what works for us, what was not working for me, was not having the spirituality side. I, a lot of times, would push that to the side because I was in such pain. I just couldn't see a way out. And I felt like he wasn't helping me.
So are you saying you were kind of angry with God at that time a little bit?
I was. Okay. I was angry. It felt like all my prayers that I was praying were not being answered. I felt it was nothing but constant silence.
Through Christ, all things are possible. At Gramazin, we are daring to believe that Jesus can achieve the impossible. Yes, we can air on our radio show one testimony from every Bible-believing church in New England. It is called the New England Testimony Challenge. Visit Gramazin.com and tell us today that you want to share your testimony for your church.
And I truly believe it was nothing but constant silence because I was silencing my relationship with him.
Yeah.
Once you have Christ in your heart, you know, once you get back in there, you get that feeling again. You feel that spirit moving again. It could take me out of it very quickly living with this, you know. I had to learn over a period of time and over the process and over my journey that I had to give everything to him. I had to give everything 100%. I had to trust that somehow we were going to get through this journey together.
Yeah.
And it took a very long time for that actually to click in my head because of all the highs and lows and everything you have to do. It took me a good 2 decades before I was even ready to even come out and tell anybody I was living with a serious mental illness. I tried to hide it. For so many years, I wore that mask. I was so good at playing that role. I became that person, you know, if I was out in public. I was really, really good at that because I had done it for so many years. I had felt for a while God speaking to me and about my mental health. And again, I tried to push it to the side. I never wanted it to be my mental health. I never wanted this to be where he was going to use me. I thought it was going to be with my music. I love to sing. It was always something leading me back with my mental health. And I kept saying, nope, I'm not going there. And he's like, yes, you are. And I'm like, nope. During that time, he started to equip me. I really started having to dive in, have a relationship with him that was so intimate. It was every single day of my life. It wasn't me picking and choosing with how my moods were. It was fully trusting the great physician that he was going to see me through this.
Yes. You said you put on this mask to hide what was really going on with you. Could people look at your life and still see dysfunction, or would that mask... was that mask also success and productivity and accomplishment? I'm just curious what the nature of that mask was.
It could vary. Okay, so in the beginning stages of it all, I was barely out in public at all. I was barely a part of society at all. So the mask wearing kind of came after I was able to be back in functioning and get back into society. But trying to find what worked best for me over those years. And if I was a part of society, I would have to put on that mask. I was not honest with myself. Mm-hmm. I was not honest with God. And I was not honest with anybody I interacted with.
Yes.
I didn't want anybody seeing that I lived with this condition.
Yes.
I felt shame. You know, I felt guilt and just didn't feel comfortable talking about it with anybody.
Sure.
I felt like even if we started to talk about it within church, you know, I would get those, you know, just keep praying. Yes, you have to keep praying. Absolutely. You have to keep praying. But at the same time, living with a mental illness also has a medical side that has to be attended to,
yes,
along with the spiritual side. Yes. And I found out over this course, a period of time, it's connected. It's those two things that are connected that keep me going, that keep me in recovery and keep me helping others. It wasn't until I fully grasped that, that my ministry began.
You and I have spoken again previously. I have a similar background, not that particular diagnosis, but I've been through mental health issues. And I know that there's often this struggle, this debate in Christendom about, well, like you said, well, just pray about it. It'll go away if you pray about it versus, no, there's really a need for some medical assistance. How do you think God has provided medicine to help people like yourself?
I mean, God tells us in the Bible, it's the whole person. It's the mind, it's the physical, it's the spiritual. It's all of that working together. He has made very talented people out there as psychiatrists, the ones who make the medications. There's nothing wrong if you have to take medication for your mental health. There's nothing wrong with it if it makes that person become a better version of themselves,
yes,
and picks them up to the place where they can get going again. Maybe, yes, you don't have to take it forever. That's not the case for me. I had to learn the hard way and accept, yeah, unfortunately, that is part of my routine. I do have to stay on medication. It's body, mind, and spirit all working together.
Well, there's actually been some depression issues in my family. So I can understand the genetics of mental health like that, but there's also sleep problems in my family. So you understand if somebody's having trouble sleeping, I don't care how much they're in the Word, I don't care how much they're praying, there's going to be mental and emotional fatigue. There's going to be those moments where I know I'm supposed to study the Bible. I just don't feel the strength to do it. So there is a connection. And so if there can be some medicines that help you sleep, it can have an impact. Maybe you're stronger the next day to dig into the Word. So I see a relationship.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a big thing for me is sleep. I have to stay on a strict schedule. And my schedule, pretty much, I try my hardest to keep it the same Monday through Sunday because sleep is huge. If I don't get a certain amount of sleep a night, it really affects me,
yeah,
really bad. Yeah. And you're absolutely right.
There's a connection between the state of the body and there's a connection with the state of the mind and the emotions. And I think in moments when I'm really deprived of sleep, I might have it more difficult controlling my feelings. Right? Mm-hmm. That's just, there's the temptation. So yeah, it makes sense that that's all tied together. Well,
dear Father, thank you that thousands of listeners enjoy hearing testimonies every weekday morning on the Gramazin Testimony Report. We also thank you that you are raising up listeners who will support our ministry financially to keep these testimonies on the air. Please lead listeners to visit our website today to give you a gift so that Jesus Christ can continue to be glorified on our show. Amen.
The Lord delivered you from this. He's given you a treatment. How did that lead you into ministry? How did that lead you into coaching?
Last January, I was sitting in church and I was listening to this message. And the message was entitled, "What Does the Bloodstained Cross Mean to You? And What Are You Going to Do About It?" That statement hit me really, really hard. And it hit me so hard that day. I was like, I know this is what he wants me to do. I know this is what I have to do. This is what he has been equipping me for. And he's going to continue to equip me for because that's what he had been doing. It really hit me that January. And for the first time, it was March 2023, I shared my testimony with our ladies' prayer group at our church. It was difficult. It was hard. I had to get the courage. I had to be vulnerable. I had to be honest with them, myself, and hey, you know, this is me. And at the end of the testimony, I saw what was happening in the room. I saw that the conversation starting to be had, the people starting to open up because I opened up and I was so vulnerable. I knew exactly that night that this is what I wanted to do. And this is what he was calling me to do. And since then, I've just been, you know, wherever you want to take me, wherever you want to leave, whatever door you want me to go through, you know, I ask him, tell me, show me where you want me to go. I'll do whatever you want me to do. It's not what Jesslyn wants to do anymore. It's what he wants me to do.
I am led by our conversation to consider 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. I'm going to read it from the New King James Version. This is the grammazon verse, or verse is, I guess it's plural. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So let me translate that for your situation.
Yeah.
Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort during a mental health illness, who comforts us in our mental health illness, that we may be able to comfort others who are going through a mental health illness with the comfort that we got from our mental health illness, with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So yes, you have been comforted by God so that you can comfort others who are going through the exact same situation.
I love it.
And how would they know that you can comfort them unless you opened your mouth and said, I needed God's comfort in this area?
Absolutely. And isn't it so true how God always uses that thing that we don't want anybody to know? You know what I mean? The thing we try to keep under a bushel. It's the thing that takes the most courage, but once you see it and once you say yes, it is the most beautiful gift you will ever be given. And it is such a joy to me now to be working with people and to have been able to cross that line to help people. It's just such a joy to me.
Yes, I struggled when I was 3 to 4 years old with issues of gender identity. And so I hid that under a rock for years and years and years. And then now I've written an entire novel about that, where one of the two leading characters struggles with that. And the Lord works with them in an interesting way. So I myself hid something for years, and now I'm just telling the world about it because, you know, the Lord's using it. So,
absolutely. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 40:31. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Amen. When we are able to turn our eyes to the provider, you know, through the power of God, our biggest giants in our lives, like David, the belief that he had, the heart that he had, that knowing that God had him.
Right.
Seriously, our biggest giants in our life can fall. I never thought I would be at this place in my life. Honestly, I never did. It took me 20 years, 20 years. But, you know, we look back in the Bible too, and how many years it took for everybody else. Jesus, he was 30 before his ministry started. Abraham and Sarah, they waited, what, 25 years to have a child.
I imagine that when you went through your mental health issues, I'm just going to guess that not every person was understanding. I've always thought about this. Imagine Noah, right? The Lord comes to him and said, you know, dude, I want you to make this ship that's about the size of 3 football fields, even though he doesn't know what a football field, but it's this massive ship. And about 100 years from now, I'm going to send this incredible flood. And can you imagine for 100 years? Is like even his wife, like, dude, why are you building a ship? For no reason. His friends are probably mocking him. People are probably laughing at him. And yet they stuck to it. I see that similarity here a little bit, that you stuck to the belief that God is good. You know, absolutely. The Lord talks about, the Bible talks about perseverance. I often thought about that. So if, you know, God forbid Joe Schmo is in a bad car accident, ends up in a wheelchair, but they're angry with God, but they live for 30 years in a wheelchair, are they really persevering? the world would say yes to persevering, because I guess the alternative is they take their life. But what I think the biblical meaning of perseverance is, God is good no matter what is going on in my life. I'm going to believe that God is good. So it sounds to me, even as you're getting criticism through those 20 years, you held on to the belief that God is good and you persevered.
Absolutely. I'm thankful. I never thought I'd say that either. I'm thankful for the thorn he has put in my side. Because yes. I would not have this relationship with God like I do today if it wasn't for me living with this condition. Yes. I wouldn't be able to reach people and engage people with my story and our common denominators walking this journey if I had not gone through everything that I had and still go through this journey today. Living with bipolar disorder, like we said, it's ongoing. It's not like I'm all cured. No, I have just learned how to manage my condition with the medical side, with the spirituality side, and with the community side, which helps me greatly. And I encourage your listeners to do that as well. Community is so important.
We face challenges at Gramazin as our enemy doesn't like that we share testimonies of the greatness of Jesus Christ. If you are a friend of our ministry, please pray for our ministry. Please also visit Gramazin.com and give us a word of encouragement that the Gramazin Testimony Report has been a blessing to you. God bless.
The people that get you, to yeah. find those people that will bring you the torch in the middle of the night and are there for you.
Yeah.
And I found that community within my church, within, you know, then working with different mental health organizations and getting involved with the community and other families who were living the same type of thing that my family and I were living. Once I was able to get involved, that helped tremendously too.
I imagine that you have some really close girlfriends, I'm just guessing, or a girlfriend who knows your situation and knows what your struggle is, and they can like maybe help you. Oh, I see a sign, and they help you because you've opened up your heart and shared. You can, that enables other people to pray, sit down, pray with you, encourage you, support you. Community is so important.
Absolutely, because I'm going to be absolutely 100% honest. Yeah. When you spiral down into a depression and you're in that state of mind, there's so many times you don't have, well, I'm not going to speak for anybody else. I'm speaking for myself. You sometimes just don't have the words anymore. You don't have the words to say, here I am for the 150th time again, you know, and you don't know what to say because you're just like, you know, it's so difficult. It's so hard, but you have to know that tomorrow is a new day. Even if tomorrow you're not making giant strides, giant steps, tomorrow is a new day. You start again.
Yeah.
The biggest thing to know is you never give up. You never give up because you can't let what you're feeling at that point in time take over. You cannot let it take over. And so many times I have reached out to my circle of friends, my circle of prayer warrior women that I'm in like a Sunday school class with or a ladies prayer group with, and they are on it. And that carries me through. It's like they're carrying me through when I am not able to pray for myself at times. And I can admit that because I've had to learn that during those times, that's when you have to lean in the most. Yeah. That's when he's calling you to lean in the most. And you can't be stubborn like me and, you know, not do it. You need to lean in. I don't know why we make things so hard on ourselves sometimes. I do. I'm queen of doing that. I'm so blessed for where I am today in life. I'm so blessed that I'm able to coach these women that I work with and the relationships that we form and that I'm actually helping another person. It brings you so much joy when he Amen. Gives you a gift like that.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, you were just saying, you know, sometimes we're so stubborn. I fully believe, Jesslyn, that our core nature, our core human nature says, I am my own God. I can do what I want. I can say what I want. I can define truth for myself. Hey, my truth. I can define good and evil myself. I can make my own plans. That is our core nature, and that is what the Lord refers to in the Bible as our stubbornness. We do not want to give up self-control. We do not want to give it up, even as believers. We don't want to give it up.
We can be such, make some really foolish decisions. But when you say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, and it's not just saying the verse, it's believing every single one of those words you're saying.
Right.
He can. You can. He can make the impossible possible.
Yes.
I'm living proof of that. He's done that with my life. And now it's like he's lit this fire within me. And I just want to share that with everybody else.
Well, amen. Well, this has been a fun conversation. So I was going to ask you, why is it important for believers to share their testimony? Well, I think you've already answered the question.
No.
but just summarize briefly, why is it important for believers to share their testimonies with others?
I've had a transformation of the heart. I believe once your heart is transformed like that, you go and do what the Bible says. You be a part of that Great Commission. The Holy Spirit, when you have a transformation of the heart, it's such a beautiful thing to see the Holy Spirit and the power that the Holy Spirit gives you to engage and talk with another person. I know this is what I have to do now. I don't think people who go into ministry, I mean, you have to have a transformed heart. You can't not have that hardcore relationship with Christ. You know what I mean? He has to be the one guiding you the whole way. It's when we back off, things start to go a little astray, you know?
A little?
Yeah. A lot.
Right. Yeah. Well, good. Hey, where can our listeners learn more about you? Where can they go on the internet?
The best place probably is my website, and that is just jesslynmccutcheon.com, J-E-S-S-L-Y-N, McCutcheon, M-C-C-U-T-C-H-E-O-N.com. That has all my socials on it if you want to connect. But specifically, I have a resource page on there with tons of different resources. The blogs are also good. I love to have guest blogs write blogs too. And I also have a support group on Facebook called Fighting Goliath for those who struggle with their mental health. And it's not just for people who live with bipolar disorder. It's mental health in general.
With both genders or just for women?
Oh, that's with both. That's with both.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Both and with families, whomever just need, we're just, it's a community to support one another. And then also, I am in the middle of writing my first book, which I am extremely excited about. And this would not have happened either if this was not my story, right?
Yeah.
And the book is entitled Fighting Goliath, Slaying the Giant of Bipolar Disorder. Mm. And I am here to tell you, living with a serious mental illness such as bipolar disorder is not a death sentence. Mm. It's not. When you find that Christ is the way, is the number one way, that you can't do it without him. I can't do it without him. When you find that, it changes everything. It changed everything for me. And I believe with all my heart, it would do the same for other people as well.
Well, amen. Well, listeners, we do have that link to her website on grimazon.com. We will have the full interview on there as well. So on behalf of the listeners of New England, I'd like to thank you, Jesslyn, for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here. Thank you.
Our goal at Grimazon is to inspire 50,000 believers in Jesus Christ to share their testimony for the very first time. It is also our goal that 5,000 churches will publish 10 or more testimonies on their website. That's a lot of work to get done. We could sure use your help. Please visit grimazon.com today and let us know that you are eager to volunteer for Grimazon.
Thank you for listening to today's show. It is our prayer that God used it to be a blessing to you.